This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the second part in a series on farm runoff and its effect on local water supplies. And AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser has our weather forecast, a rainy one. First, though, a look at local news. Officials have stepped up security at airports in Chicago and Indianapolis as at least one airline has canceled flights to London in the morning in the wake of a foiled terror plot. The plot allegedly was aimed at planes traveling from Britain to the U.S. and involved explosives hidden in carry-on luggage. American Airlines spokesman John Hotard says at least one London-bound flight from Chicago was canceled this morning, and a later flight from London to Chicago was also canceled. Congestion's been building at London's Heathrow Airport all day, and officials banned all carry-on luggage there. In Indianapolis, there have been long lines as the Transportation Security Administration is banning most liquids on flights. Airport Director Paul Dooley says there are some exceptions, baby formula and milk if a baby's traveling on the flight, and prescription medicines if they're labeled with the name of the passenger. The airport has set up tables in the terminal so passengers at Indianapolis can pack items in their checked baggage. After considering the possibility of regulating smoking in rural areas last night, the Champaign County Board's Policy Committee decided it wouldn't talk about the issue at all. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The agenda item on regulating smoking brought people on both sides of the issue to last night's policy committee meeting. First, Paul Van Pelt told the committee a county ban on smoking in bars would hurt his business, the Club 45 Banquet Hall north of Urbana.
Since Champaign Urbana is going to be banning it, why not let smokers have a choice to go somewhere and smoke instead of just thinking about the non-smokers? If a non-smoker doesn't want to smoke, then they don't have to go to the county.
But Rochelle Weber of Rantoul said the dangers of secondhand smoke were too serious to ignore.
I've been to your club, Club 45, and I had to leave early because I couldn't tolerate the smoke.
In the end, committee members decided they needed more answers before continuing further. Some of the questions concern how much authority the county has under a new state law allowing them to regulate smoking. Others were about what type of smoking regulations, if any, should be passed. Chairman Tom Betts says if his committee doesn't discuss the smoking issue, others may bring it up before the full county board. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Tonight, a public hearing will give Champaign County residents a chance to comment on the $4 million in bonds the county board wants to issue to get a new nursing home building opened. Finance Committee Chairman Brendan McGinty says bonds are needed to cover unforeseen expenses, especially controversial problems that have delayed the building's opening by several months.
We have to pay for the overage from construction work at the county nursing home. Some of that includes items that are in question right now, litigation right now, regarding the ultimate payment of the mold remediation and the HVAC problems that the new facility has been having.
McGinty says they hope through mediation, the architects and contractors who worked on the nursing home will eventually pay the bill for removing mold and fixing problems with its HVAC system, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. But he says the county has to raise the money first to make sure the long overdue nursing home opens as quickly as possible. Republican gubernatorial nominee Judy Bartopinka has been criticized for failing to provide details about her campaign platform. As Sean Crawford reports, the candidate says that is intentional.
Topinka hints she has a plan for the state schools that will raise funding, but she offers no other information except to say she'll lay it all out soon. While Topinka has attacked Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich on a variety of topics, she's been short on specifics when it comes to how she'll run state government if elected. Topinka says the wait is by design.
I want to make sure, though, that people are home from vacation, that they're settled in, that they're thinking about this race, and it's not just what we've seen during the summer. Look at this. This guy has dropped over $10 million on me, trashing me in the press. His numbers haven't moved at all. I'd say that's bad planning.
Topinka is referring to Blagojevich's large lead in campaign cash. She says she needs to generate as much publicity as possible in the final weeks of the campaign when voters begin to make decisions on who they'll support. As for education, Blagojevich's campaign says he's increased school funding each year he's been in office. The governor also has a plan to sell the state's lottery with proceeds going to schools. I'm Sean Crawford.
A group of Champaign-Urbana residents wants to make the bicycle a more prevalent form of transportation in town. A community meeting last night tackled the concept of a bicycle co-op, a place where people can work on their own bikes, sharing tools, parts, and expertise for an annual fee. Alex Herter is a University of Illinois senior who's also helping organize a fleet of bikes available at any time for free to students who need to borrow them.
That concept is basically an automated and fully accountable way to distribute a lot of bikes cheaply so that people can, again, more efficiently use the resource.
Herter admits that similar programs in other areas have had only mixed success, often because the borrowed bikes never return. But he believes the concept can work if students are required to swipe an ID card in order to access the bikes. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Stormwater runoff from farm fields contaminates the lakes that many cities use for drinking water. But rather than making farmers reduce the pollution, the government requires water utilities to clean it up and pass the cost on to their customers. The Great Lakes Radio Consortium's Lester Graham reports on efforts that some communities have made to stop pollution at the source.
To a great extent, nitrogen fertilizer determines how big a corn crop will be. But often, farmers use more nitrogen than they really need. It's a bit of a wager. If conditions are just right, that extra nitrogen can sometimes pay off in more bushels of corn. But just as often, the extra nitrogen ends up being washed away by rain. That nitrogen can get into lakes that are used for public drinking supplies. If nitrate levels get too high, the nitrogen can displace oxygen in the blood of children under 6 months old. It's called blue baby syndrome. In extreme cases, it can cause death. Keith Alexander is the director of water management for the city of Decatur, Illinois. He recalls that the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency required his city to give families with babies bottled water because nitrogen levels exceeded the federal limits.
For approximately 6 years, we did issue bottled water on an infrequent basis when the nitrate levels did in fact elevate.
The city of Decatur had to get nitrate levels down. So it piggybacked on federal and state incentives to get farmers to use better management practices. It gave money on top of federal and state tax dollars to farmers to build terraces to reduce soil erosion and to put in grass waterways to slow water rushing off the fields. The city gave farmers money on top of federal and state incentives to use conservation tillage methods. It paid to install artificial wetlands so that plants would take up the nitrogen before it got into public water supplies. It gave farmers money to use a chemical that would help stabilize nitrogen in the soil. With all that city and state and federal money offered to farmers, was it enough to reduce nitrogen to safe levels?
Unfortunately, no.
Keith Alexander says some farmers did take advantage of the incentives, but not enough of them.
We've done quite a bit on a voluntary basis with a lot of great cooperation from the agricultural community. But in spite of all that, we still at times would have elevated nitrate levels in Lake Decatur.
The city had to build the largest nitrate reduction facility in North America at a cost of $7.5 million to ensure its drinking water did not exceed the federal standards for nitrates. The people who tried to persuade farmers to sign up for nitrogen reduction programs say many of the farmers were skeptical that they were the cause of the problem. Some just didn't care, and others were skeptical of government programs and all the red tape involved. Stephen John is the executive director of the Agricultural Watershed Institute. He's still working with farmers to reduce nitrogen runoff in the region. Today, the reason is not Decatur's lake, but a problem farther downstream.
The driver for addressing nitrogen issues now is loading to the Gulf of Mexico. Because we've been at this for some time here, we're in a good position to use our watershed as something of a laboratory to test ideas that might be applied elsewhere in the Corn Belt.
Nitrogen from the Decatur Lake watershed eventually flows into the Mississippi River. All or parts of 38 states drain into the Mississippi and finally to the Gulf of Mexico. There, researchers believe the nitrogen fertilizes algae growth, so much so that when the algae dies and sinks to the bottom of the Gulf, the decomposing vegetation robs the water of oxygen and causes a dead zone that can be as large as the state of New Jersey some years. Getting farmers to change their farming practices when it was causing problems for the city next to them was difficult, Getting them to change for a problem hundreds of miles away is even tougher. Ted Shambaugh is a sixth-generation corn and soybean farmer who has changed. He says people don't like to hear one of the reasons farmers don't do more to reduce nitrogen pollution.
This is going to fly against a lot of common thought, I suppose, about the farmer, and it does get me in trouble sometimes. But the farmer has become inherently lazy in his management techniques. They hire their nitrogen put on. Why do they do that? Well, a lot of it is because they then have somebody to blame. That if it didn't go on right, well, I didn't do that. Well, we kind of think that's what we get paid for is management.
Most people in cities like Decatur won't say things like that about farmers in the countryside around them. The economic well-being of many of the cities in the Corn Belt is highly dependent on agriculture. Criticizing farmers is just not done, even when many of those farmers didn't lift a finger to clean up the water that their city neighbors have to drink. For the GLRC, this is Lester Graham.
The GLRC is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the DTE Energy Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can subscribe to the GLRC podcast at glrc.org.
Our forecast for today from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser includes thunderstorms. In the north, in Illinois and Indiana, clouds, scattered showers and thunderstorms, some of them could be severe. In central sections, a mix of clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms developing. And in the south, hazy sunshine, hot and humid, isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, and highs ranging from only 82 degrees in the north to near 100 in the St. Louis area. For tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in central and southern sections of the two states of Illinois and Indiana. Lows ranging from 62 in northeast Indiana to 74 in southern Illinois. And for tomorrow, sunshine in the north, in central sections, partly sunny, a few lingering showers and thunderstorms possible. And in the southern parts of Illinois and Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. And highs tomorrow ranging from 78 in the north to only 88 in southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily podcast for Wednesday, August 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.